I've been at snow games and they were fantastic. The atmosphere is great. It brings together everyone in the stadium because normally you're all cheering for the same team. You don't really have conversations left and right depending on the stadium you're at. When it's a snow game, everyone is into it with each other. They're hugging each other, keeping each other warm. It's a blast.
Because you're all in
rain,
the shit
though,
together.
Can't do rain.
I would love to go to football and just hug strangers all game, and that'd be awesome. That sounds neat.
Especially now with COVID, right?
That yeah. That really fit my personality. Yeah. Let me hug you, stranger. That's great. Let me rub cheeks on your cheeks to keep each other warm. Wow.
Oh,
neat.
Man.
Who you betting on? Always on black, fat stats in the pocket, whole squad, fast tags. Send the bookie, tell him bring it from the bag. No, we coming for the bag.
Ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls, to the few in attendance and the thousands listening around the world, let's get ready to gamble. My name is Tony Cavallo. As always, I'm joined by Matthew Dangles, D'Angelo Antonio, Schaefer the Sharp, Drew Schaefer Crookson, and we are the West Coast Gamblers, a proud member of the Evergreen Podcast Network and the only gambling show that makes you money. And we all have something to celebrate this week, boys. Each of us individually have something to celebrate. You can see Dangles is wearing his 87 Gronk jersey. His Patriots Woo-hoo. Are alone as the one seed in the AFC after a miserable Monday Night Football game that nobody should have watched. Schaefer the Sharp, his college team, Michigan Wolverines, is in the college football playoff and will likely have to beat two SEC powerhouses to lift a trophy. But hey, anything is possible this year with Michigan. And myself, I am very excited because, yes, the Packers had a bye, but maybe that's what I needed to start winning some bets because I went 6-1 on the weekend and 5-0 in King of the Coast. The second ever 10-point weekend on this show, Dangles and myself, Schaefer the Sharp falling a little bit behind. But first, let's go to Dangles. It's time to celebrate,
yeah.
My man. New England has hit their win total over 8.5. They're in control, in the driver's seat for the playoffs. They are the better coach team than that Buffalo Bill team. How are you feeling about your boys in New England?
You know, I said this in our text thread. I think this may have been like right up there with, you know, this could be Bill Belichick's magnum opus. He spent the entire game running the football. Buffalo knew exactly what he was going to do on each and every single play, except for three. That they went out there. Mac Jones attempted three passes. Completed two of them for 19 yards, and they still won in a crazy, windy game. I absolutely love it. It's just there were a couple of questionable calls there with a roughing the passer out of bounds. But look, I knew going into this game this was going to be a challenge with the wind for Buffalo. They don't have a run game to speak of, and you made a great point in our text thread, Tony. How is Buffalo a bad team in the weather considering where they played? It makes zero sense to me. But they were not the better team tonight. They did not come out and look particularly put together. Josh Allen's arm strong enough to not affect the wind, but in the end, that Patriots defense was just able to bend, don't break, just enough to hang on to that 4-point lead. And hey, shout outs to Duncan, my buddy, my pup. He going 2-0 on his Monday night Duncan Deuce, hitting both the Patriots money line and the Buffalo Bills team under 20.5 points. Attaboy. No, great week. I'm super excited for where this leads us. We head into a bye next weekend, the latest bye in the history of the NFL, and then we come back to play Indy and Buffalo again the week after that. So not an easy stretch going forward.
Yeah, you're not out of the woods yet.
No, absolutely not. But this not only is, again, an in-division signature win for us this year, but it, as you said, Tony Squares, it puts us in the driver's seat of the AFC playoff picture, and I love me some of that.
I want to stay on Buffalo for a second because it amazes me that the play calling that they had. Obviously, they can't run the ball, but they know that they can't run the ball. And when that weather came out, they came out onto the field, they understood that they're not going to be able to kick, not going to be able to punt. Throwing's going to be off. It's wobbly even with Josh Allen's arm strength. And how that offense didn't turn into the Taysom Hill offense that Sean Payton ran in the second half of their game. That was another awful game. But at least they tried something with the players that they had. QB draws and QB runs with Josh Allen would have made this game a hell of a lot more competitive in my eyes. Maybe they wanted to throw it away. They don't want to injure Josh Allen in a game that truly doesn't matter. Buffalo's likely making the playoffs even with this loss. But how do they not try to get Josh Allen to use his legs more? Whenever he did, whenever he escaped the pocket, he was near unstoppable. It was the biggest plays they had. Schaefer the Sharp, I know you're dealing with a snowstorm in there and your internet was cutting out left and right in that game, but How do you see this Buffalo Bills team? Are you questioning the decisions that they made, or do you think you're throwing this game away?
It's tough with the elements, right? I mean, it's almost unplayable with the win, and I was just happy that our Mac Jones Rookie of the Year campaign didn't get smeared. We just go off 16 games, not 17 games. That's all. It's just his stats would be based off a 16-game season like it normally was, because this game clearly is just a wash.
2 for 3 for 19
yards. All 19 yards that he threw for. Josh Allen, by the way, believe every it or snap. Not. Josh Allen, by the way, believe it or not, attempted 30 passes, completed 15 of them. It didn't seem like he threw that often, but that was a lot of passes for Buffalo to throw in this game. I'm sorry, Drew.
No, it's all right. I like this Bills team. I still like this team. They obviously have started, obviously 12 games in the season. They're a little disappointing based on preseason expectations, but I look at a game like this, and, you know, if they score a touchdown that last drive, it's a completely different conversation.
Absolutely.
And so Josh Allen let him down. And I think, not to say it was luck by any stretch that the Patriots stopped them there, but my point is they're knocking on the door. They miss a 33-yard field goal. I mean, come on. So I don't think the Bills take too much from this. It was a great win by the Patriots. I think the rematch in Foxborough will be a great game, and I think that's when we'll see the Bills' true colors this year.
Yours truly will be at that rematch in Foxborough. Oh, I cannot wait to watch that game. Drew, you were talking about how you would have to pay me money to go to the game in Buffalo with the 35 miles per hour wind, 20-degree weather. I thrive in those situations. That's football weather to me. I love watching games. I mean, if it's a Sunday and there's 17 games on the TV, I'd rather be at home. But if we're talking about the marquee game of the night and it's only that game, I'd much rather be there than be sitting at home.
Couldn't disagree with you more. And I'm just going to tell you, to our friend Buffalo Bro is at this game. I'm sure he's very happy after that result.
Very happy.
But I'll tell you what. I went to my now Big Ten champion Wolverines in 2019. I went to the Michigan Notre Dame game in a monsoon, and it was actually at the time Harbaugh's one of his biggest win. And to be honest, it was a great time with friends. We had a great group of guys and a great tailgate. I've never been so miserable in my life in a football stadium. I'm not an element guy. I mean, put me in a box, put me a bunch of cocktails, some hot food. I don't want to be outside with the wind, with the precipitation, with the anything that comes in my face or on my coat. I'm out. No, watching football is on your couch with a blanket or nice sunshine or in a press box. That's it.
Yeah. Daggles, have you ever been to a cold weather game living in California and Florida for the past 10, 15 years of your life?
I don't think I had, because growing up, you know, I grew up in a baseball house. And so, you know, when we bought tickets to go see a professional sporting event in Boston, it was typically the Red Sox. And obviously that's not happening during the super, super cold weather. I've spent plenty of time in hockey rinks that were not well heated at all for spectators and freezing that way. But I can't say quite in the elements there the same way that you, because you, Tony, were you not at the Tuck Rule game? In 2001?
No, not the Tuck Rule game. No. I was way too young for that. I was at the snowball game where you go back and they're throwing snows. Okay. Hey, and they're throwing snow up in the air back before Gary Glitter came out as a – oh, we won't talk about Gary Glitter. Anyway, I've been at snow games, and they were fantastic. The atmosphere is great. It brings together everyone in the stadium, because normally you're all cheering for the same team. You don't really have conversations left and right. Depending on the stadium you're at, when it's a snow game, everyone is into it with each other. They're hugging each other, keeping each other warm. It's a blast.
Because you're all
rain,
in the shit
though,
together.
Can't do rain.
Oh, I would love to go to football and just hug strangers all game, and that'd be awesome. That sounds neat,
especially now with COVID, right?
That really fit my personality. Yeah, let me hug you, stranger. That's great. Let me rub cheeks on your cheeks to keep each other warm. Wow.
Oh,
neat.
Man. Why are you so angry today, Schaefer the Sharp? Not only did your Michigan Wolverines lift their first ever Big Ten championship, but your Detroit Lions won a football game. Why are you in a bad mood?
No, it's just the Monday hangover after an unbelievable weekend. That's it. Or it might be that it's, you know, almost midnight and it's a snowstorm and, you know, my son doesn't sleep. Maybe one of those variables.
Which locker room do you think will be more excited? The team that eventually wins the Super Bowl or the Detroit Lions last Sunday giving the game ball to Dan Campbell?
That was
awesome, man. That was awesome.
Which was awesome. Oh, no, I'm not trying to knock it. I thought that was great. I love that. Huge. You know what I mean? Like, you know, I think people forget Jared Goff led his team to a Super Bowl. You know, he can show flashes of being good. He can complete passes. He can lead a drive down the field and score at the end.
That is a big definition of the word led.
I'm not defending
him.
They won one game.
As much as Lions won, the Vikings, I think, are just as capable for that Lions win. You have Tony Squares' zone coverage on fourth and goal from their own one at Hollywood High, apparently inside the 10. But hey,
that was a mystifying play call. I have to say,
I haven't been more excited about a football game in a long, long time than Saturday night when the Michigan Wolverines won the Big Ten championship. That was a freaking riot. Of course, I cleaned up that game. All the bets won. None of them won on Sunday, per usual. But very good weekend. But yeah, today fighting the elements a little bit, boys, and yeah. That's it.
Well, let's fight these elements, because we did the playoff picture last week. We told you who was going to make the playoffs, who wasn't going to make the playoffs. I may have put a hefty sum of money on those Miami Dolphins to make the playoffs. I found them to make the wild card at plus 1,200, amazingly. But let's move forward to the teams that we think are definitely going to be there, those division leaders right now, because both of the conferences are very stacked up on top of each other. The NFC is a little bit more clear in that playoff picture. There's five teams in there that are pretty confident they're going to be in. Anything can happen in the AFC. Even the Patriots, if they start losing these games to Indy and Buffalo, could find themselves outside of the playoffs. That's how stacked up it is. But let's go to these division winners right now. I want to bring back an old game we play. It's time to marry, fuck, kill these division leaders and see how we're feeling on any Super Bowl odds, prognosticating the future with five games left to play for all of these teams. Dangles, I'm going to go to you first, because they are your New England Patriots. New England right now alone at the one seed at 9-4, leading the AFC East, game in hand against those Buffalo Bills. Tennessee Titans are 8-4, still the 2 seed thanks to what they did early in this year, but they're losing people left and right, although Julio Jones is now practicing again for them. Don't know if that means anything with the way Julio's been playing, but hey, getting anybody back is a good thing. The Baltimore Ravens lost a shocker of a game to the Pittsburgh Steelers. They're 8-4, leading their division, but honestly, their division is more stacked up than any other. And then the Kansas City Chiefs, the much maligned Kansas City Chiefs, on a five-game winning streak, 8-4 as well. As I said, all of those teams have four losses. So Dangles, Pats, Titans, Ravens, Chiefs. We're looking not for next week. We're looking towards the future. Marry, fuck, kill those four teams.
I mean, I'm going full Homer unapologetically here. Marrying the Patriots, absolutely. Riding Bill Belichick into the playoffs. You can never go wrong doing that. And guys, I think the Patriots have proven over the course of this season that they can beat you a bunch of different ways. They can beat you on the ground. They can beat you through the air. They can beat you with their defense. They can beat you even when Mac Jones isn't playing his best. They got a lot of different ways that they can will themselves to a win, playing that, you know, more of sometimes a conservative offense and that bend don't break defense. I think that's something that's set up for longevity. They're not being asked to go out there and put up 50 points a game, even though they can do that in certain situations. They just have to go out there and play their style of football, and I think they are going to continue to do that. I see them as the most complete team of those four that you gave me. I'm having consensual relations with the Kansas City Chiefs because, guys, Patrick Mahomes, A, and B, this defense is actually playing a lot better over the last a few weeks compared to at least where they were. They've allowed 9-9. 14, 7, and 17 over the five-game win streak. That's pretty darn good, considering some of the totals they let up earlier in the season, 35, 30, 29. So the defense is improving, and again, betting on, you know, the offense is still there. Patrick Mahomes is Patrick Mahomes. So I'm going to have consensual relations with the Kansas City Chiefs, and guys, I'm killing the Baltimore Ravens because I think they're pretenders, especially after that game on Sunday, where I think Lamar looked as just about as erratic as a passer as I've ever seen him. I think Ravens fans should be concerned, honestly, because the defense isn't good enough to win them games when Lamar isn't at his best. His decision making is you guys see that first quarter interception he threw to Minka Fitzpatrick on like 3rd and 6 in the red zone? He had Hollywood Brown open on an underneath route, but all he could focus on was TJ Watt in his face. Now TJ Watt's a big guy, but I've seen him make these throws before. This was a pretty easy throw, and one that separates good quarterbacks from great quarterbacks and good passers from great passers. And Lamar made a bunch of those decisions yesterday in that game. So I got to say, I'm really not impressed. And obviously the loss loss of Marlon Humphrey hurts big time as well. They got players going down left and right on that Baltimore team. They've been injury plagued all year. I don't think they're built for the long term. So marrying the Patriots, I am taking the Kansas City Chiefs home, and I am killing the Baltimore Ravens.
Ever since Dangles became an awaiting father, he refuses to say the word fuck and marry, fuck, kill. But hey, sorry, Mrs. Crookston, I'm still here for you. Mr. Crookston, Drew, marry, yeah. Fuck, kill that AFC conference for me.
I think I'm gonna flip-flop with Dangs here at the top. I like his choices, but you know, I've been so critical of the maligned Chiefs, and yeah. I am going to actually marry them for this reason. They're winning games and Mahomes isn't doing anything. Mm-hmm. I mean, like, what? I'm officially just so confused about the team. And Mahomes literally has not done anything in this 5-game winning streak, with the exception of that one game he blew up. But they're still finding ways to win. So, I mean, if that team's winning 5 in a row, they've been to 3 straight AFC championship games. You got to think now that they're in the driver's seat of the division, they'll at least have home field for at least one game. I mean, they're not, as it stands right now, they're a half game out of the number one overall seed.
Yep.
So, I have to marry the Chiefs. I'm absolutely going to F-U-C-K the Patriots. We got Mac Jones futures. I got the Patriots win total at plus money.
I got New England to win the AFC East at plus 400, yeah. Baby. Give
I love
out
that
on this show.
I love that our reasoning for this is because we bet on them.
Yeah, well, hey, I mean, we not to say we told you so. We told you so about New England. They obviously look great. They're going to be a tough, tough out. And I'm with you, Dangles. I got to kill the Ravens. I mean, they've won so many close games this year. We know about playoff Lamar. Like, when's it? Like, I just think they're kind of a luck box, you know? So I can see that team kind of burning out in the first round of the playoffs. Lamar's always going to, you know, he's always going to provide that threat of doing something great. Their defense is solid. Their coaching's great. They're a veteran team, but Dangle said, I mean, losing Humphrey is not a small task.
No.
And the fact that they're just literally winning, the luck factor has to run out of them, so I will kill the Ravens as well.
Drew, I wish I could make this interesting radio, but I'll keep it short because I agree exactly with you. And I will talk about the Titans for a second, because if they can get healthy, and if this Derrick Henry injury is that 6 to 8 week injury and not a lingering one, that's a scary team to play, because the defense has played better. Ryan Tannehill has played better, and they've been doing this without A.J. Brown being healthy, without Julio Jones at all, and without Derrick Henry at all. They're doing it with Donta Foreman and Darrell Hilliard. That bye week was huge for them. They got people healthy. They actually got a bunch of people that had COVID now coming back off the COVID list to have a full-strength team for this final run. And they play a couple of cupcakes down the road, so they should keep that South title and at least host one of these games. I would be a little bit scared to play Tennessee in a Buffalo-New England-type game we just saw on Monday Night Football. Tennessee would have wiped the floor with both of those teams at full health. I'm marrying the Kansas City Chiefs team, though, because I thought of this over the weekend when I was watching their game against Denver, because I was an idiot. The only bet I lost was Denver plus 9.5. And I realized that Kansas City right now, people compared Pat Mahomes to Tom Brady the whole entire time. Pat Mahomes is going to be the next Tom Brady. He's going to win X amount of Super Bowls. Yes, he's only won one, but you can see the future is bright in Kansas City with him there. And as Tom Brady, after he won a few Super Bowls, during the regular season, New England would falter here and there. They would lose a random game to Miami or whatever, and they'd lose to the New York Jets and the Mark Sanchez times. And people would always go, oh, these aren't the same Patriots. These aren't the same. They were better before. But they were comparing the Patriots of that year to Patriots of past years, which was an impossible task. Same thing happened to the Chiefs this year. They're comparing the Kansas City Chiefs to the Chiefs of old. But if you compare the Kansas City Chiefs to the teams around them, because those are the teams they actually have to play, they're a better team on paper. And yeah, Mahomes is not playing the same way he used to. He has more interceptions than he's ever thrown before, but that defense is playing better than ever before. The Melvin Ingram addition was huge for the entirety of that defense. I think they're a better team all put together. They're calling better plays on the defensive side. And if they can get Clyde Edwards-Helaire and Damian Williams to run the ball, or whatever D. Williams they have on their team, they have on their team this year, if they can get the running game going and make it easier for Patrick Mahomes, that's the last team I want to play in the playoffs. Marrying Patrick Mahomes, I'm fucking the New England Patriots because they're the most complete team, especially on defense, although they have a few injuries now that we're questioning on that defensive side, but they're the most complete team. And I'm killing the Baltimore Baltimore Ravens, exactly. That Marlon Humphrey injury is huge. That's why John Harbaugh went for two at the end of the game there. He lost both his starting cornerbacks and didn't want to play Pittsburgh anymore. He scored 17 points in the fourth quarter to come back and win that game. Baltimore is a luck box, just like Drew said. Now, if you like Kansas City or you like New England, plus 300 for both of those teams to win the AFC. Not a great number, but Dangles, what do you think about plus 300 for either of those teams? You said New England, we said Kansas City. Is that a number that entices you to take a play on an AFC champion or stay away and let it play out?
Are you asking me to back my now on a 7-game win streak favorite team to win the AFC championship? Of course I'm going to do that.
No, like, I know, but I'm talking about give our listeners some props. Like, if they believe our case for one of those teams, do you think plus 300 is a good number to make that bet, or should you instead wait for the playoffs to come and play it game by game?
I'd place it. I'd place it on the Pats. I might place it on the Chiefs too, honestly, coming down the stretch of the season, because now I think they have, you know, for the on the Chiefs case, and I think in the Patriots case too, they have identities now. Now they know what they are. They know what they can do. They know what they can't do. They know what their opponents can and can't do. We've seen we have tape on them now. I'd be willing to put a, I mean, I'm going to place my money, put a gun to my head. I'm going to put my money on the Patriots at plus 300. Maybe Shafe the Sharp has a different idea, but I don't hate that number. And yeah, I'm absolutely jumping on the Patriots to win the AFC East. Cause why not? Why not?
Why not? Just like Drew last week with a maybe as his reasoning.
Anybody who's been watching the NFL this year can come up with reasons and understands reasons. Anybody who's listening to this podcast knows why the Patriots are a good team, knows why they're a complete team. I've explained it already. And I guess the question is kind of like, what do you think? Because, like, to me, the Chiefs have the better offense. The Patriots have the better defense. Which do you give more weight to? That's the question you have to answer.
Let's move on to the NFC, because the NFC, it's a much clearer picture at the top. We pretty much know these four teams are going to make it. And the LA Rams, we're not going to talk about, but they're a 5 seed, very confident that they're going to be in the playoffs as well. Though this Arizona-LA matchup next week on Monday Night Football is going to be glorious. But Shay for the Shop, I'm going to go to you first. Tampa Bay Buccaneers, the Green Bay Packers, the Arizona Cardinals, and the Dallas Cowboys. Marry, wow. Fuck, kill those four division leaders.
Okay, well, I'll start with my kill first. It shouldn't be a big surprise. I am killing not the Arizona Cardinals. I will not kill them. I've been too hard on them this year, and I will kill the Dallas Cowboys. I will. And Mike McCarthy in January, not a recipe that I want. And it's funny because all this preseason stuff we had about the Washington football team, how terrible they were to start the season, you know, they're going to have a strange opportunity here to – win their division.
And
they have all division games in front of them. They're 2 games back. I think they technically, maybe not quite, but they're pretty close to controlling their destiny. I don't think they're going to get there in the end. I think the Cowboys will win that division, but I just think that team is way overrated, way too inconsistent for me. So I'll start with a kill. Who am I effing? Well, this is tough. These are three very, very attractive human beings,
yeah.
Whatever entity, you know, you want to, what appeals to your senses. I am going to have intercourse with, man, the Green Bay Packers, Tony.
There you go.
I said it. Because, A, they are going to lead me to our Winners League victory.
Sadly.
Listen, that team has been awesome all year. Rodgers definitely is playing with a chip on his shoulder. I think they get healthy off the bye. And I think they're fun. I think they're a fun team. I really do. And then I got to marry between Kyler and Cliff or the GOAT. I mean, come on. Yeah. I got to marry the GOAT. I got to marry the defending Super Bowl champs. And if I had to put money on who's coming out of the NFC right now, it'd probably be the Bucks, just because it's just Brady proved it last year. Good luck beating him in January.
Yep.
It's very tough out.
Well, the Bucs are the favorite at plus 275. Yep. They do play Buffalo, and that's going to be an interesting game to determine who gets home seeds in the playoffs and who has to travel for that NFC championship, although it didn't matter last year to Tampa Bay Buccaneers. I will say, Drew, the Washington football team is plus 750 to win that division. So if you think they got a chance, old Ron Rivera and Taylor Heineke. Dangles, Tampa, Green Bay, Arizona, and Dallas. Marry, fuck, kill.
marrying the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. They are the best team in the NFC East, and until I see otherwise from Tom Brady, I'm going to keep going with him. I am screwing your Green Bay Packers, Tony. You know, coming back from the bye here, sounds to me like there could be a few key chess pieces coming back onto the board. I think I read that Matt LaFleur said who Jair's coming back, potentially Bakhtiari. There's one other name that I think
Za'Darius
he mentioned.
Za'Darius
Smith. Those are all pros.
Not just three players, three all pros.
And at three different important position groups as well. So that's a huge, huge help if indeed all three of those men make it back onto the team. I mean, guys, you know, Matt LaFleur's record is you know, almost spotless here. He's got 2-13-3 seasons. He's working on a 9-3-1 here. I think the Packers, again, are another team to beat. And as much as I want to see him fail because he's an idiot, Aaron Rodgers is Aaron Rodgers, and he's going to be good, and he's going to lead his team. And I think I probably also have to kill the Dallas Cowboys here. I got to leave my Arizona Cardinals off the board here, just given the circumstances. But I agree with you, Drew. Mike McCarthy in January is not something I want to be betting on. This team is skidding right now, and I looking at these other teams, I think the other three teams we're talking about are all better. Even though the Arizona Cardinals do stink of the 1998 Minnesota Vikings to me, great in the regular season, can't get it done in the playoffs. That team went 15-1. That Vikings team.
Did you know, Dangles, that Matt LaFleur in 3 years of coaching has one less loss than Dan Campbell does in 1 year of coaching? I have to say, Dangles, I'm marrying the Green Bay Packers, obviously. The three all-pros coming back, Aaron's last dance, last chance. It's all shaping up to a wonderful January. Hopefully make it to February for the first time. They're plus 330 to win that conference. I think it's a necessity for them to get the one seed, and I think they will with the slate of finishing games that they have. They do play Baltimore, by the way, so if you think Baltimore is going to falter, that'll be a game that Green Bay will need to win to prove that theory right. I can't get over, I understand the stupidity, I understand Mike McCarthy, Mojo Mike, but I cannot get over on paper the talent that Dallas has on both sides of the field. So that's why they are my fuck in this division. We will know exactly what Dallas is after this slate of games where they play their division over and over again. And they need to beat them all up to prove to me that they're deserving of my fuck here. But they have Amari Cooper, CeeDee Lamb, and Michael Gallup coming off the edge. Even if Zeke's hurt, Tony Pollard is one of the better running backs in the league, and Dalton Schultz has proven that he can run the routes and play a solid tight end, his injury notwithstanding. And that offensive line is healthy. They can beat anybody up in the world. On the other side, the question has always been their defense, but Micah Parsons and now DeMarcus coming back on the other side, that pass rush is amazing. They do very well against the run, and their cornerbacks can leave a lot to be desired, but they're making enough plays in the turnover department to win games for them. I think Dallas is one of the toughest outs in the league right now in either conference. I do not want to play them as a Green Bay Packer fan right now in the playoffs because of what they can bring to the table. Do I think they can fuck it all over with a stupid clock management thing at the end? Absolutely. Absolutely. But what's going on looks alone when we're talking about one-night stands here in Dallas to me is the sexiest team out of the bunch. I do love Tampa Bay. I don't love the Arizona Cardinals still. I think they're a luck box as well. Listen, Kyler Murray beat up the Chicago Bears. They covered against the spread, but Andy Dalton threw four interceptions in that game and gave Kyler Murray less than 30 yards to score on each of those interceptions. If that game is played against a competent team, even a mid-level, even if it's the Detroit Lions, which we will see soon, even if it's the Detroit Lions, I think Arizona is in a much tighter game against that team. That team is not the team that was undefeated for so long at the beginning of the season. They have come back down to earth, and they have yet to be shown that they can lose these games. I don't think they finish with two losses. I don't think they finish in the one seed. They've been proving me wrong all year, obviously, but I still don't believe in the Arizona Cardinals. They are my kill in the division lead here. And wow, they are the third worst odds to win the NFC at plus 400, Dallas at plus 500. Schaefer the Sharp, TB is plus 275, Green Bay plus 330, Arizona plus 400, Dallas plus 500. Do any of those entice you? I know you said marry Tampa Bay, but you're a Sharp, you're an odds man yourself. Are you staying away from those numbers, or do you like anyone to dive in?
No, because I believe, looking at these odds, I think it's got to be Tampa or Green Bay more than likely. I mean, are the Rams worth a shot at plus 750? Maybe. maybe. You know, I they really haven't proven, you know, the staff unfortunately hasn't really proven he can beat anyone that's worth really anything
no.
this year. So I think you're better off letting the season ride out. Obviously, when the playoffs start, I think both the Tampa Bay Bucks and Green Bay Packers will probably be slightly plus money. I'd rather wait to see the draw than bet on the smaller odds right now. I will say, Tony, you've been hiring your Indianapolis Colts for a couple weeks here. And for them to win the AFC, for a team that's built to play outdoors with Jonathan Taylor, with a good defense, their odds to win the AFC are plus 2,200. Now, I think that might be worth a pizza bet, just because if there's any team that can travel in January, it's Indianapolis Colts.
Did you say a dome team is built to play in January? I just want to make sure I'm hearing you right.
Just because of the Jonathan Taylor and that sturdy defense. And yes, I'm aware they play in a dome.
Okay.
But I do think
they are also quarterbacked by Carson Wentz, who's having a good year, not turning the ball over, but he's still Carson Wentz.
He's on toothpicks for ankles right now.
But remember, Old Man Rivers went into Buffalo when the Bills were the best team in football last year, and the Colts gave him all they wanted.
Yep.
All they wanted. So that'd be the only thing I'd be worth maybe a little pizza bet on.
No love for the San Fran 49ers at plus 1,800, Drew?
No. Not after that pathetic showing against the Seahawks this weekend.
Oh, my God. All right, that is it for some Mary Fuck Kills and some Super Bowl favorites. I love that Drew gave out Indy plus 2,200 there. There's a couple of AFC teams. I mean, even like a Cincinnati or LAC could get hot real fast and shock the world here. But Indy's a very scary team come playoff time. We'll be talking about playoffs for the rest of the season. There's still 5 weeks of football left to play. There's still bets to win. But it's time to get some help. It's time to talk about our losses a little bit, air our grievances, so to speak. Festivus for the rest of us. It's time to hit Dr. Dangles, and that's coming up next.
Dub C to the G, West Coast Gamblers.
Hi, listeners. We wanted to take a moment to tell you about another podcast from Evergreen Podcasts and Sound Talent Media called Pit Lane Parlay. Pit Lane Parlay is the go-to podcast for IndyCar and motorsports-related news. Each episode, we discuss things like our favorite drivers, news clips from the last week, and generally giving each other a hard time about predictions we've made in the past and or life stories that have come up recently. We really have a lot of fun with it and really enjoy each other's company, and we hope you can come join us too. Join Pit Lane Parlay by following us on your favorite podcast today.
All right, ladies and gentlemen, it's that time of the week. We've come here today to gather, to air some grievances. As Tony said, Festivus for the rest of us. We are coming up on the Festivus season where people will be breaking out their polls and complaining about things in Jerry Stiller's accent. So let's air some grievances here and now about our betting weekends. It's time to get real. It's time to get raw. It's time to feel our feelings. It is time for Dr. Dangles, who needs his glasses. Oh yes, here they are. I can't be a doctor at all without a shrink without glasses that don't quite come up to the top of my face. In a football jersey, because who wouldn't trust who wouldn't trust Gronk as your therapist? Okay, Tony Squares. Maybe I should give my answers as Gronk tonight. You asked me to come to you first, so I'm guessing that you have a particularly pressing issue, which surprises me because I'm told that you were quite successful in your betting ventures this past weekend. So what plagues you this week, Tony Squares?
Dr. Dangles, it's quite the opposite. I wanted you to come to me first because I came after you last week. I said if we should re-up your contract, I want to pay you less. I was very angry over the past few weeks. And all the methods that we've tried, all the times you've given me hope, you've given me pointers, you've given me expertise and optimism, we've made sacrifices, we've done some crazy things in this segment and in your office here, and I just want to thank you personally, because you have made me grow into a better. And last week I went 6-1, 5-0 in King of the Coast, and I woke up today and I mean, I see trees that are green, you know, red roses too. I see them bloom for me and you. I see skies of blue and clouds of white, the bright, blessed day and the dark, sacred night, and I think to myself, Dr. Dangles, what a wonderful world. And that's because of you, my friend. Thank you.
That was beautiful, Tony. I did you write that? That sounded original.
Yeah, I wrote that myself, yeah.
Well, I that's great. I'm so glad to hear that. See, you're a square, right? You run with your gut. And you trusted your gut this week. You made the bets that you felt were going to hit, and, you know, there you are. So I am that nothing gives me more pleasure as a certified, graduated degree holding medical professional than to hear a patient, a client come in and say, this really helped. So thank you, Tony Squares. Shay for the Sharp, what about you? What have you got on your plate this week?
Well, you know, doctor, I had something prepared, but Tony Squares just blew his gambling load all over my gut. So I have nothing.
Oh, God. All right. And with that disgusting image, I am going to call time, and we are going to move on to gravestones.
West Coast Gamblers.
After that rousing segment that set the record for longest segment of the entire West Coast Gamblers history, Dr. Dangles, thank you for your help. As always, a wonderful week out of you. It's now time to talk about the sad things in life. It's time to tell you yet again what team is not making the playoffs this calendar year. We are playing gravestones. We have done this all year long, each week throwing a team into the deep, dark ground and saying they're not going to make it. Each of the hosts here has now killed 11 teams. Today is the 12th team they're going to kill. Eventually, we're going to kill enough teams so only 14 remain, and hopefully those are the 14 actual playoff teams. It's how we judge this game. Each week, though, we go in the order of how we did on the gambles the week prior. You've heard already that I was number one. I'll be going first. Dangles is second. Drew is third. That order matters, especially now that we're getting close to the end of the season, because if I kill a team in the start, Dangles and Drew cannot kill that team this week. So far, we have all killed Jacksonville, Miami, and the New York Jets. Miami's making a run, though. We've also killed Detroit, the Giants, Chicago, and the Philadelphia Eagles. Philly's the only one that's scary there. Individually, I've killed the Vegas Raiders, the football team, the San Francisco 49ers, and the Carolina Panthers. I'm pretty sure two of those teams are in the playoffs if the season ended today. Dangles has killed the Denver Broncos, the Atlanta Falcons, and the Seattle Seahawks, as well as the Houston Texans. Houston being the only team so far officially eliminated from the playoffs this year, so good job, Dangles. Drew, you've also killed the Houston Texans, the Pittsburgh Steelers, the football team, and Russ Wilson's Seahawks. But the chapel doors are open. The bell is ringing. The bell is tolling. I don't know what I ever say in this section of the podcast.
It's ringing and
tolling. The priest is calling us in. It is time to bow our heads, make it to our pew, and the Father, the Son, the Holy Spirit. I don't even know if I said that correctly anymore. That's how long it's been since I've been in a chapel. So, it's time to go and play gravestones. You know, when you come forth to an altar such as this, you should leave all transgressions to the side and leave your emotions out of it. But today I am unable to do so, because as you've heard, I went 6-1 last week, and that one is grinding my gears. The Denver Broncos very well could, at 6-6, make a run and make the playoffs in the end with that feisty young defense and Javonte Williams having a great running game, but I cannot commit to the Denver Broncos because I want to take each and every one of those 53 uniformed players and put them into the ground myself. It is time for Denver to go home. You are not making the playoffs, and John Elway once again is looking for the quarterback of the future for that Bronco franchise. Good night, Denver.
You know, one of the things that I always look for in teams that I am prognosticating will make the playoffs and will go on runs is consistency, and not just consistency on the field in the way that you play, but consistency in team makeup, consistency in coaching staff. Firing your offensive coordinator halfway through the season is not a good thing for a team shooting to make the playoffs. And for a team that has a good defense, but that is not enough to make up for a revolving door at quarterback, a litany of injuries, and poor offensive line play, it's just not quite enough, that defense, to propel them into the playoffs. Even with the return of the long-lost prodigal son, Cam Newton, the Carolina Panthers just don't have it this year. So I am sorry, Charlotte. I am sorry, Thomas Jones Wortham and senior NBA correspondent. The Carolina Panthers just didn't put it together this year. They will not be making the playoffs in 2021. Good night, sweet kitties.
Wow. Consider me flabbergasted that this team was not mentioned in the beautiful eulogies before me, but a wise man once told me, I don't know if this quote's exactly right, so bear with me. If you lose to the winless Lions in December, you're fucked. And Kirk Cousins, Mike Zimmer, that marriage is ending. And friend of the pod, Vikings fan that will go unnamed in this eulogy, certainly scurrying around Hollywood, very, very sad after that Sunday night. The Lions, the Motor City Kitties, take down the Purple Butthole Eaters. Minnesota, skull.
And with that, let's quit joshing around. That is the end of Gravestones.
Dub C to the G, West Coast Gamblers.
And that is it for the Tuesday show, the recap show of what was. It is now time to look towards the future. On Thursday, we'll be coming out with more gambles. Each one of the hosts on this show won their King of the Coast or had a winning record for their King of the Coast bets. I've taken a huge lead in that contest, though, and they're going to have to do a lot to catch up to me. But we're getting hot at the end of the season here. We're starting to figure this thing out, and I'm excited to see the future. Some great games on the slate, but that's it for today. Congrats to your Lions, Drew. Congrats to your Wolverines.
Thank you.
Congrats to your
Thank
Patriots,
you.
Dangles. It's time Woo. For the real NFL team to come back off the bye. The Packers are playing the Bears. Oh man!
On Sunday night? How did we get this as a Sunday night game? I understand the rivalry, but like, come
Nobody
on.
Nobody knows. Nobody knows. I hope to God it's Andy Dalton. Oh, I hope to God it's Andy Dalton. But that's it for the West Coast Gamblers. My name is Tony Cavallo. As always, I'm joined by Matthew Dangles, D'Angelo Antonio, Schaefer the Sharp, Drew Schaefer Crookston. We are the West Coast Gamblers, a proud member of the Evergreen Podcast Network. And as always, thank you for listening.
Dub C to the G, West Coast Gamblers.
The world's best-known investor and Wall Street expert, Warren Buffett, once said, "Wall Street is the only place that people ride to in a Rolls-Royce to get advice from those who take the subway." Mr. Buffett's quote is remarkably accurate, but how many people would rather receive advice from him than someone simply guessing? Welcome to Buy, Hold, Sell, your single source for Wall Street knowledge and profitable guidance. Please join me, Todd Schoenberger, and fellow trader Tobin Smith, as well as host Veronica Dudo, for a podcast known to move the needle for investors. Tobin and I are seasoned Wall Street executives with deep investment experience, and we are prepared to share our advice to those who choose to listen. Download Buy, Hold, Sell today on the Evergreen Podcast Network or your favorite podcast channel.